Good morning, good morning. So, Lydia, with her ninja skills, broke into my house and basically put all my preach notes into songs. So, I think it's going to be a bit boring this morning, sorry. So we're still in 2 Timothy, and at the moment where we are in the passage is Paul is in Rome in prison yet again, but this time he's quite close to his death, he's quite close to his execution. But he's writing to to Timothy, who became his sort of his son in the faith, and Timothy used to tour around with him, help him plant churches, how to kingdom work. And he's basically writing to him to say, look, I would like you to come visit me in prison, because I think I'm getting to the end of my life and I would like to pass over the whole church planting business to you. But while you're still in Ephesus, I need you to deal with the problems you have in Ephesus, in the big massive church of false teaching, conflict, people not getting along. So today we're just going to focus on 6 verses in 2 Timothy 2, 20 to 26. Sorry, can I just check, am I just a smidgen too loud? Am I all right? Very happy? Thank you. Because obviously I can't hear the dodgy accent, but you can, so it's sort of a loop, okay? Cool. So we're looking at 2 Timothy 2, 20 to 26. In a large house, there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are rare for special purpose and some are for common use. Those who cleanse themselves from the latter will be instruments for special purpose, made holy, useful for the master, and prepared to do any good works. Flee the evil desire of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments, because you know they produce quarrels. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. Opponents must be gently instructed in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth, and they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of evil, who was taken captive for them to do his will. I'm just going to pray for us before we jump into it. Father God, I thank you so much that we can just be here in your house this morning to glorify you this morning, Father. Thank you that we have the honor to worship you and to praise you and declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, that we belong to you and that all we are is for your glory and your purposes. May the words that I share be receptive, Father God. May everything that's of me myself be forgotten. May everything that's for you alone, Holy Spirit, be remembered. Amen. So a quick side note, what is holiness? Holiness is to be set apart. Holiness is to be dedicated to a divine purpose. It's to have no sin, to be completely clean, to be completely blameless. Through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ alone, we are set free from our past, from our sins. We are set aside, we are set apart to be holy for His divine and His glory alone. We declare that Jesus is our Lord. He is our Savior. He alone made us holy. In Hebrews 10:10, it is written, and by that will, by God's will, through the blood of His Lord Jesus, we have been made holy, through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ, once and for all. Our decisions and our behaviors need to be based about who we are in our Lord Jesus. As Christians, we can say, okay, I'm saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm set apart to be holy. But are we actually living holy lives? through the way we live our lives, through the way we conduct ourselves in our families, behind closed doors, out there in the world, does that reflect the Jesus characteristics that is supposed to be in us? In Paul's letter, he likened the gold and the silver, the precious things, to people who are faithful, who are set apart, who live their lives for God's glory. That is in a complete contrast to the wooden, clay, everyday things that he says is the people who create the chaos. In this moment, he's talking about people in Ephesus who bring in false teaching, who create conflict and strife and nonsense. But as we read, all these items, precious and non-precious, are all in the same house, which means everybody should be loved. Everybody should be drawn back to good. Everybody should be drawn back to truth. Everybody should be drawn back to the glory and peace of Jesus. Everything and everybody should come to the point where they are useful to the Master. Like I said, if as we proclaim Jesus, he implants his characteristics within us. By pursuing holiness, we acknowledge that Jesus is our Lord and our God. We are not just purchased by blood for salvation to be able to be blessed and go to heaven one day, but we are blessed to be set apart, to be useful in this world we live in right now, to live unselfish lives, to be useful in all situations, every single day. It might be when you're standing in a queue and somebody is struggling with to get all their bags packed. Maybe help them get it to the car, or maybe as you're walking yourself to the bus with your bags and somebody else is struggling, ask if you can help them. Small, everyday little things can make such difference. He said everything, every purpose should be useful for our Master. Time and time again, it is said holy because Jesus is holy, because we should be holy. In Romans 10, it is written, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in a view of God's mercy, to offer your body as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. True and proper worship, for me personally, is trying to get up in the morning, have my Jesus time, go into the day, and to just try and remember, constantly remember, that I am in this day for a purpose. I'm not in this day for my own selfish nature or my own frustrations. In 1 Peter 1:14, it says, as obedient children, do not be conformed to evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. I added that, but in ignorance, meaning before you knew Jesus, before you belonged to him. But just as he called you to be holy, you also be holy. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. So I'm not just going to do quick 3 points about living a holy life. The first one that came to my mind is the more time we spend with God, the more useful we are to him. Like was written in verse 20 and 21, in the large house there are the articles of gold and silver, wood and clay for special purpose and common purposes. Those who cleanse themselves from the latter, from the common things, will become useful instruments to the Master and prepared for good work. So choices we make to focus on God, decisions we make to walk in his presence every single day, choices we make to be tuned into the Holy Spirit, to be right there in a situation where he can just use you, not to be distracted by things in your life and things around you, but just to be absolutely, absolutely steadfast in a position where God can just use you for anything you choose to. if you look at Scripture, the people that were the most used and the most useful to God was people that were really, really humble in themselves. People that would just say, yes. Yes, here I am. Use me. The second point I would like to look at is you have to flee to be free. Verse 22a, it says, flee the evil desires of youth. Now, what did he mean by that? Basically, what it means is run. Run as fast as you possibly can to get away from situations that you know is not good for you. Things that are not physically dangerous in itself, but things that can harm your mind, your being, things you read, things you watch, people you spend time with. Flee. Now, I'm going to put the image up, and I don't really have to say anything about it. Does the lives we live in private reflect the way we live out in the world? Is who we are, our characteristics, the same behind closed doors as they would be out in the world? Is there anything in our lives we need to run away from? Is there anything hidden in our beings that we need to run away from? Is there anything that we watch that we know we're not supposed to watch that we have to run away from? Is there a lot of negativity spoken into your life every single day from people in your class or people in your world that you have to just say, look, just stop. This is not who I am. I was created by Jesus Christ for a purpose. I will love you. I will pray for you. But for a time, I might have to step away from you and not spend time with you. This is something that I know none of us can do by ourselves. You have to allow the Holy Spirit to first show you what it is and allow you to spend time with you and to say, look, this and this and this and this is not honoring to you and it's not honoring to God. This is what's toxic in your life. This is what's not making you holy. This is what's making you common. Let the Holy Spirit help you deal with it, and through Him, you will be able to move on to the process of stepping away from it. Father God has set you apart to live a very specific purpose for Him and His glory and His kingdom. By making that decision to step out of all that stuff, to just focus on Him, to just trust in Him, life could be so, so, so different. The third part, we run towards righteousness. We run towards faith, love, and peace. In 2 Timothy 2:22, verse B of that same section, it says, pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace, along all these things with those who are called, who call on the Lord with a pure heart. Do you surround yourself with good, trustworthy Christian friends? Don't get me wrong, I'm not slagging off people in your life and your friendships that are not Christian, but do you spend real proper time with Christian friends, very spiritual people that you can just tell them anything, that you can just share your life with them and know that they will keep your confidences, that they will pray with you, that they'll walk with you through a situation? Is there things that you're feeling really, really guilty about? You think, I don't know how to deal with this. You don't have to deal with anything by yourself. Find somebody that you can spend that time with. Find somebody that you can share life with. Find somebody that you can just be on your knees with and know you won't be judged. I keep saying it again and again. We are designed and purposed to be holy. We are designed and purposed to be set apart for Jesus, because it's all about Him. We were created to glorify Him. We were created to have a relationship with Him. We were created to spend as much time as we can in His Word, meditating, focusing on Him. I'm going to put this verse up, and obviously, this is just me. This is nobody else, okay? But this verse is implanted in my brain, especially when I commute to work on a motorcycle every single day. And to make it your ambition to live a quiet life, minding your own business. Because every single time somebody cuts me off or jumps a red light or don't see a big ass motorcycle, I need to mind my own business. And I do that 7 times a day on average. By leading a quiet life and by minding your own business when it comes to gospel, or the devil trying to lure you into situations that you know you're not supposed to be after. So I'm minding my own business. I'm going to have a quiet life. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to trust Jesus. I'm just going to focus and do on Him. You do run towards righteousness. You do run towards love and peace. I would like to share a little challenge with you. Could you maybe take just one day this week, and instead of watching nonsense TV, instead of being pulled into social media like Facebook and Instagram, whatever you do, just take that time. Set it aside. Draw near to God. Draw near to the Holy Spirit. Speak to Him about things that you have to speak to Him about. I stole a slide from my wife. Remember Jesus. Find that button. Spend time with Jesus. Focus on Jesus. Focus on what He wants you to do with your life. I honestly, honestly believe if we can get to a point where you are wholly set aside, focused on God and not on the past, there's so much more you can achieve. God is calling you into a new place, into a new season, to lay aside all the other things. Not just for us as individuals, but also as a church body. So the fasting and praying is such an amazing idea to draw together, to focus on God, to glorify Him. I wasn't going to do this, but I feel compelled to. Okay, so humor me. In Exodus, when Moses drew near to the burning bush, the angel of the Lord spoke out of the burning bush to him and say, take off your sandals, because the place where you stand is holy ground. I'm going to do both, because otherwise it's going to be weird. In Joshua, the same thing was said to him. Take off your shoes because the ground you're standing on is holy. And I went and I did a bit of research and I was trying to figure out for myself what could the significance be. And the easiest explanation I could find is the fact that the sandals they wore was very, very, very dirty, covered with all sorts of nonsense. And by taking your shoes off, standing on holy ground, you set aside the dirty. You set aside things that is unhelpful and unuseful and definitely not necessary in your life. And you don't just take it off. You get rid of it. You step into the holy to be where God wants you to be, or to be where Jesus wants you to be. And I confess, saying this out loud makes me sound like such a hypocrite. But I'll be the first to admit that I need more and more of Jesus every single day of my life. And I ask and pray that you take a bit of time and go have a look and a ponder and see if there are certain things that you have to turn from common everyday use into precious items. Father God, I thank you so, so much that we can just be in your peace and your glory, that we are reminded that there is precious and amazing things that you chose us for, that you made us holy for, that you set us aside, that we can live a life apart from all this stuff and just for your glory and your kingdom, Father God. Holy Spirit, please speak to every single one of us about the hidden things, about the things that we have to look into, maybe about the people in our lives that we maybe have to set aside for a little while. Father God, may your glory and your will just consume us. May we understand that you love us, that you chose us as your precious, precious items by the blood of Jesus Christ. Not just for salvation, but for good works, to do good works and to be what you want us to be in this world, Father God. Give us supernatural encounters. Use us to change lives. Use us to always point towards Jesus, to always remember Jesus, to always glorify you, Father. Thank you that what is in the past is in the past. Thank you that we can walk on holy ground through you and for you alone. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.